goodsuccess.com. Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that no one returns back the same way. Let the spirit of the wisdom behind your word that we are going to have an encounter with today, let it live inside of each of us, so that we may not just be hearers alone, but be doers of everything we are learning today. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains crafting a fail-proof plan. I know most of us have always heard about planning in maybe primary school or secondary school or wherever we were when we were young. We heard people talk about planning, that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail and all that. So this is not a new concept. This is something we've always known, heard about. In fact, if you don't plan or if I don't plan, what comes to our mind is, oh man, I'm supposed to plan. And then many of us actually plan and end up not doing what we planned. So how do we craft a fail-proof plan? We all know the importance of planning, that planning is the roadmap to success. It is the step-by-step guide to achieving a vision, to achieving a goal, whether it's physical, spiritual, business, career, whatever the goal is, planning is the roadmap to getting there. What does the Bible say? Let's remember that the subtitle is A Simple Guide to Achieving Success Without Being Stuck in Last Year's Failure. There's a reason why we didn't accomplish all the things we planned to accomplish last year. There is a step that God has revealed to you and I, which is planning. God is a God of plans. In fact, He had a plan before the foundations of the earth. So who are you and I not to plan? Not to visualize the future and check out the steps required to get there. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, that's who among us, desiring to build a tower, to achieve a construction, achieve a plan, achieve a goal, achieve a vision, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" He said, how many of you? So it's actually naturally expected that we all write down our plans. Then number two, it says, that's Ecclesiastes 10:7 says, "There's an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Foolishness is dignified, is set in great dignity." That's foolishness is dignified, just like we see in our world today. A lot of things that are completely foolish, but they are now dignified. He said, "Why the rich sit in a lowly place, I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on ground like servants." And then the last one, that's Proverbs 15:22, says, "Without counsel, plans go haywire, go hurry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." So as a point of introduction today, one way to see vision is to treat it like a building construction. Now, we all know about any construction project that it's a complex task that includes different kinds of activities. And with my knowledge in construction, I know that construction project begins as the following. Number one, it starts as a wish. The client actually just wakes up one day, has a dream in his mind and wants to accomplish something. I want to build a 100-story building or a 1,000-story building. That's a wish. Anyone can have a crazy idea. The question is, can that idea be accomplished? Then the second stage of that construction is the vision. That is the step at which the client takes the first step to research and write it down. A wish is not a vision. What you write down is actually a vision, is what you can run with. If it is not written down, it's just a wish. Just like it's been said, if wishes were horses, then even the paupers will ride. If wishes were Ferrari, anybody will buy it and ride it. Then the next stage is what I call a move. The move is when the client approaches the construction professionals. That is the move. We are still talking about crafting a fail-proof plan. So you can see that it doesn't stop at wishing, where many of us actually end things. I want to be the richest man in the world. Fine, that's a wish. Then take it to the place of vision. By the time you are writing it, you will see some, in quote, foolishness in what you have written or I have written. then I want to say, okay, what can I take out of this? No, this does not make sense. And then by the Spirit of God, you start refining those things. Then the move is when you actually take a step to approach somebody to guide you, to approach a counselor, to approach, just like a construction project, you approach an architect who can craft those things together and put it together for you and I. Then the next stage after a move is a plan. You have a plan, and that's exactly what we are talking about today. You are putting the plan together. Then the last stage is the action, where you are actually acting precept upon precept, block upon block, brick upon brick, foundation, floor, wall, openings, roof, finishing. Those are the stages of construction. You don't start from the roof and then put the wall. No, you start from the foundation. And many of us are actually at the foundation of our lives. And this is the foundation of this year. And that's why we are taking 1 month to actually plan and schedule things out. Because if you are just wishing, there is no guarantee that we're going to accomplish anything. We wished last year that we will make 1,000 times or 10 times what you were making before. How many of us accomplished this? You wished it year before last. You wished it 10 years ago. So I think it's time for you and I to actually say, okay, what can I do differently? And that's why God has given us this checklist. I don't know how many of us have been able to print, but even if you have not been able to print, which I think you should, if you have not been able to print, then please take a sheet of paper and write those things. You probably didn't write last year. I don't know if you wrote last year, but even if you wrote, I don't know if it's as detailed as this. So this year, let's just take time out to do this and see the difference at the end of the year. See what difference it makes. How do we craft a fail-proof plan? Failures in life. I'm talking about people who are failures in life, and there is no one like that here. But failures in life are people who are just living by and are miserable because they have no plan. Those are failures. But they are swamped with non-ending activities. People who are failures in life are people who are just living by. They wake up, what is the next activity? They are jumping to it. They are just, anything that comes, goes. Anything that comes, goes. Those are failures. Then the next stage, those are mediocres. People who are neither failures nor successes. So, on the other hand, they are the ones who have plans that are either not backed by wisdom. Failures are people who have plans, but those plans are not backed by wisdom. Or they have the perfect plan, wisdom there and all that, but they are too lazy to follow through. Those are mediocres. I will not be found in that place. You will not be found in that place this year in the name of Jesus. Many Christians are not failures, so to say, but they end up being mediocres. And that is what God doesn't want us to end up as this year. Mediocres. Plans, vision, even if they don't have vision, there is a prophecy that will come out in their church, there is a guide spiritually, there are plans they have and all that. But the question is, are those plans backed by wisdom? Are those plans good enough? Are we ready to do the right thing to get there? Do we just have plans? Are those plans backed by wisdom? That's the first thing. The second one is, the perfect plan, are we too lazy to follow through? If you want to achieve any significant success, I'm not talking about anything. If you want to achieve just anything, you don't need a plan. Just go ahead. I want to go and buy food down the road. I just need to go there. There is no plan. Get into the car, drive there, buy whatever I need, and come out. That's not anything significant. But you want to get to the top. There is no one, whether believers or unbelievers, wherever they are, without a plan that will get there. No, it's not possible. There must be a thorough plan. Some plans even take years to even get done. We are just taking a month for this year. That's 1/12 of the year, which is good. The Bible says, if you want to cut a tree and the axe is dull, the axe is not sharp, he said, then spend some time. Because if you don't, then the person will use more strength. The person will become exhausted because the axe is not sharp. That's why we are saying, okay, we'll plan this year for 1 month and then we'll see the result that follows after. So if I want to achieve anything significant in life, if you want to achieve any significant success in life, then we must embrace planning as our new life. We must take it like we are taking prayer. Every Christian knows, oh, I must pray, I must fast, I must read the Bible. Also add planning to that list. In fact, without proper planning, you may not be able to pray well. That's the truth. You will not pray well. You will not pray effectively. You can listen to that episode, I think, on planning that we did some time ago. You will see how I explain that. Plan your prayer, you see how effective you will be in prayer. List the things you want to pray for. Plan it. Fasting, you want to fast. Plan it. Bible reading. Plan it. When are you going to be reading the Bible in the day? If not, you will end up not reading anything. In fact, without proper planning, you cannot be successful spiritually. So planning should even probably come first. Plan your prayer time. Plan your going to church. Plan working. Plan business. Plan career. Without a plan, how can you get to the top of your career? Because you won't even know the things that need to be done to get there. What is a fail-proof plan? A fail-proof plan is a plan that has been carefully crafted to overcome all obstacles. The reason why plans don't come to fruition, I can tell you, there are majorly two things. Number one, because we didn't follow through with the plan. We didn't do everything we wrote down. That's the number one reason. Then the second reason, the very second reason, is because the plans have not been carefully crafted. That second one, let me make it third. Then the third one is that there are obstacles that we didn't see ahead. We didn't know there would be obstacles on the way. So your plans now didn't come to fruition. Just like we said last week, I asked the question, how long does it take to drive from Lagos to Ibadan? And at the end of the day, we saw that it really depends. It depends on how many obstacles are not on the way, or how many obstacles you are able to overcome. It depends on when you move during the day. If you move in the afternoon, you already know you are bargaining for traffic. I don't know how it is now, but at least when I was on that, I know that if you don't go very early in the morning, there is no guarantee that you are going to get there early without traffic. If you don't go super early, maybe like 5 a.m. or even probably 4 a.m., if you want to go there early and get there without issues. So obstacles actually most times lead to plans that fail. Obstacles that we didn't see coming. A fail-proof plan is a product of foresight and hindsight. Foresight and hindsight. What is foresight? Being able to see the future. Having enough wisdom to see the things that will happen in the future that you have not even gotten to. That is foresight. Hindsight, on the other hand, is built on past experience and that of others, your own experience that you had in time past, that, oh, when I tried to do something sometimes ago, I wasn't able to achieve it because of these reasons. So because of that wisdom I've been able to get from past experiences, now I can craft a new thing for the future because I know what happened in the past. I'm using that wisdom to achieve the future. So that is hindsight. Foresight is powered and fueled by wisdom. For a child of God, it is the spirit of wisdom that fuels foresight. You have the spirit of God, you're able to see, you're able to pinpoint. What is a plan? Because if you want to achieve a fail-proof plan, you must know what a plan is and what a plan is not. So we're going to look at what a plan is and what a plan is not. So number one, what is a plan? According to Google Dictionary, a plan is a detailed map or diagram. So number one, you can see carefully crafted, then detailed map. Map or diagram. What is a map? A map showing different places, different points, different steps. It's like a step-by-step guide to getting to your destination. Remember last week's episode was titled, "What is your destination?" So destination is the vision, is the goal, is the place you want to get to. So a plan is a detailed map or diagram that can take you to that place, that tells you how to get there. That tells you, oh, from this place, you will get to point B, then to point C, to point D. It's also defined, according to Google, as a detailed proposal. It's a proposal for doing or achieving something. Detailed proposal. If God gives you a vision, it is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to detail everything out. Put every detail together for getting to that future. What is a plan? I define plan as this: a detailed step-by-step guide to achieving a vision. Detailed, every aspect of it. So let's look at that checklist again. If you have not downloaded the checklist, you can see the link. It's pinned in Telegram, so you can just see it and download it so that you can print it. So the task we had for this last week was number one in the checklist, which includes writing out the detailed vision for all areas of life. For a child of God, it is not just business breakthroughs, it is not just financial breakthroughs or career breakthroughs. No, it is not just that. It's not even only spiritual breakthroughs. No, it is breakthroughs in every area of life. A balanced life. So you want to look at spiritual part of your life, finances, family life. If you succeed in every area and you fail at the family level, then it's not good enough. Then business or career or both of them, if you have both of them. Then your health. You can't succeed in everything and health fails. No, there must be a plan for your health. Then social life. I know I fail in this a lot, but even as a child of God, socially we must have an impact. We must be able to have a plan for our social life this year. So what impact will I make in my society, in my environment this year? Then recreation and rest. I want to plan maybe vacation, or how will I have recreation every day? A balanced life. That is what we want to achieve. That is good success, all round success. So a detailed step-by-step guide to achieving your vision is what a plan is. What can you not call a plan? Number one, a wish is not a plan. Most people end up at the end of a wish. What is a wish? When it's in your mind. When you just say, oh, this is what I want to get done. Those are wishes. They are not plans. A plan is not a wish. A plan is not an assumption. Many people live in assumptions. And as the popular saying, assumption is the mother of frustration. Many people are frustrated because they are assuming. I think we have an episode on that also, on assumptions. So please don't assume anything in marriage, in life, in business, in career. Don't assume anything. Get details. It's not an assumption. Don't just assume you will be 1,000 times more at the end of this year, or you'll have made several millions at the end of this year. No, don't assume. And don't just wish it. Start from a wish. Then, it's not an assumption, it's not a wish, then it's not a desire. A plan is not a desire. It can start from a desire, which is also a wish, but it's not a desire. A plan that is not written is not fail-proof. A plan that is not yet written is not valid, it's not serious. Because I can tell you, if you're a creative person like me, at the snap of my finger, whatever I think is my plan or my wish or my desire can change any moment. It can be upgraded, it can be downgraded, it can go another way. So if you have not written it down, just don't classify that as a plan. A plan is not in your head. A plan is not in my head. No. Until it is written, don't count it as a perfect plan. It is often easier to jump right into activities than to take 5 minutes to plan. Did you know that it's easier to go to a construction site and carry head pan for the day than to sit down 1 hour to plan someone's life? It's always hard to plan. How many people here? Let me just get some reactions here. It's always difficult to plan. You wake up in the morning, you said you want to plan. You just feel like, let me just go. Let me go and do the work. If you know you have ever experienced that, you can put a one in the chat. Just drop a one. Let me know I'm not the only one. Because I don't like it. I really don't like planning for any reason. But I forced myself to be planning. Sometimes I just go overboard again and I don't plan again. Then I say, oh, no, I'm supposed to be planning. So this year, we don't want that to happen. Planning is a difficult thing. Thank you. I'm not the only one. At least I have 2 people. So planning is not sweet. It's not interesting. However, it is the secret of champions. It is the first step to achieving any vision. Because that is when you visualize and you begin to see, wow, this thing I said I'm going to achieve, I don't know. So, like, I was doing my own plan during the week when I printed my own checklist. And I was writing the things I want to achieve each month in my business. So, now I have a better picture of how it's so easy to achieve what my goal is at the end of the year. Naturally, I would say, what I want to achieve at the end of the year, I want to achieve it right now. But when I did a plan, and I did it gradually, and I saw the incremental progress it will bring by doing something small every month, and I saw the incremental result at the end of the year, I was super glad. That is the power of a plan. When you are writing, you are beginning to see, like, this plan don't make sense. I need to adjust this thing. I begin to see what does not make sense. I'm like, no. This does not make sense. I need to adjust it. And then you begin to see, this can make more sense. And you begin to improve it. So, it's often easier to jump right into activities than to take 5 minutes to plan. This is why many end up in the hard labor of life. rather than the throne God has given them. And that's why that scripture we read earlier is important, that some servants are on horses while princes are walking on ground like servants. That will not be your portion. That will not be my portion, in Jesus' name. 1 hour plan can save 100 years of stress. Some of us just need to sit down and plan and say, sitting down, like, no, this is not possible. I shouldn't even focus on this. What are the elements of a fail-proof plan? Number one, it must be written. It must be written. So if you have not written your own checklist, you have not printed it, please, I'm begging you, print it this week. Don't do phone, don't do digital. I know what phone does. Before 1 week or 2 weeks, you won't find it again in your phone. Other things will have taken over. So print it and put it in a place you can see it. It must be written. It must be detailed. The second element of a fail-proof plan is that it must be very detailed. Every aspect of that thing must be written. Always compare it with the construction of a building. In fact, if you have never seen the construction of a building, I want to say, just go and look for it. Check online to go and download the plan of a building. See, it's not only architectural plan that makes the plan of a building. It's just one that many people know about because architects are popular. They've always been here. But it's just one tiny aspect. If you are, for example, in Lagos, where most buildings are not bungalows, they are story buildings. Apart from the architectural plan, you have what we call structural plan. All those, let me call it iron. We call it reinforcement bars. All those irons they put inside the concrete, there is a design for it. There are details, very detailed things that are done behind the scene. Hours of calculation, anyway, softwares are there now that we use. But hours of calculation to know how many iron rods should be in concrete per square meter. You know how many iron rods. You know the spacing between the iron. They are not just any kind of spacing, no. The more serious the building, the more close the iron bars are together. So all these things are detailed. Then we have the plumbing, that's the electrical work. These are designed to details. We have the plumbing, which we call the HVAC, the heating, the air conditioning, and everything is planned. And then we have the finishing. The finishing of a building can be a major thing. All those things are planned into detail. So just see your plan like that. Does my plan have a roof? Does it have a foundation? Does it have building blocks? What steps will I take? I count the blocks of a building as the building blocks, step upon step, precept upon precept, like the Bible says. So the Bible says, who is it that wants to build a building, a tower? We don't first sit down and count the cost. Those are the details. Check. Maybe some plans should just be pushed over to next year, and some plans need to be done yesterday, so to say. What are the elements of a fail-proof plan? Number three, it must be accessible. Just like I said, don't just keep it on your phone. No, print it. Put it in a place that it cannot disappear. Imagine constructing a building with an architectural plan that cannot be found. I mean, that building is going to end up killing people. It's going to have all manner of shapes. The bricklayers will say, engineer, let's do it this way. Another person, plumber or carpenter, will say, let's do it this way, because there's no plan. But once there's a plan, no, the builder can say, no, we are following this pattern. This is exactly what needs to be done. What are the elements of a fail-proof plan? Number four. So number one is, it must be written. Number two, it must be detailed. Number three, it must be accessible at all times. Number four, it must be what you are going to be committed to. It must be what you are committed to. Without a commitment, it has failed before it starts. So you must be committed to it. Check what you have written down. Am I committed to achieving the results? If you are not committed, there's no point. I want to be committed. Then number five, can it be adjusted when there's a better light? Don't do a plan that is rigid, that cannot be adjusted, because we always have better light, like the Bible will say. That's better wisdom, higher arguments, so to say. You always see something in a different light. For example, somebody plans to marry somebody, and then at the end of the day, you're like, this person cannot be somebody I want to marry, because everything just points in the wrong direction. You're like, okay, no, I've seen a better light. Or you want to go into a particular career, you want to become a nurse, and then every time you see blood, you're always vomiting, you're always running away. It's like the world wants to end. Like, is it by force to become a nurse? Change. Or ask God. Just change. So your plan must be something that can be adjusted when there's a better light. Then, as we close today, how do we stay focused? Because without focus, the plan will still not be fail-proof. It will fail. So how do we stay focused? That's where we are ending. Vision is achieved by always keeping the vision in focus. Without focus on that vision, there is no accomplishment. That is focus. Men fail because of the lack of focus. I've said it over and over again. I learned that from Mike Murdock. He says, men fail because of lack of focus. Men or women. The reason we fail most times is because we are not committed to keeping to our words, our plan, sticking with it. I watched this movie, King Richard, about the Serena Williams sisters. And the guy kept saying, I have a plan. I have a plan. And this was based on a true life story. He said, I have a plan. And he was following his plan. He looked stupid, but he was following his plan. He wasn't praying and fasting for the plan. He was following it. So as a child of God, it's not just about praying and fasting. When God has revealed a plan to you, just stick to it. Except he says something else. Stick to that plan. And then success is achievable. As we close today, take this along. Mediocres are people who are neither failures or successes. They have no focus. Anything that looks like it gets their focus and attention. People will say, oh, this is the job everybody is doing now. They want to run to that job. This is the church everybody is going now. They want to go to that church. Without even getting a commitment from God, a leading from God. This is the kind of phone everybody is buying now. Without checking their budget, nothing, they just want to get it. No. We must put our focus shoe on and say, no, I'm focused. I'm focused. Jesus said, for the vision set before him, he said, he despised every other thing, focused on one thing to achieve the salvation of men. And in closing, I have put my plans under the following three lists. I have a must-do list, to-do list, and a may-do list. Try that this year. Every day, say, this one thing I must do it today, no matter what. Then I will have my normal to-do list. Then I have may-do list. And I pray that even as we end this podcast today, that God will give us the grace to be able to follow his plan for our lives, to even create plans around the vision he has put in your mind and in my mind, and to do this in righteousness, in godliness, in holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the task for last week. Number one in the checklist is supposed to be done last week. So please make sure you do that today. That's one commitment. Do that today before you sleep. And number one, I'm going to write down everything. Write down everything here. This is a small space. So a summary of the goal, the vision for all these aspects of life this year. Then this week, our task is number two. So everything in number two and three will be the task for this week. So you want to check that you have taken, you want to see, oh, have I researched? If I have not researched, then you research. You look at how to achieve all the successes in different areas of life. Then have you read books? Have you bought books? Add bought books there. Books or anything that will help you to achieve your plan this year. You want to tick that you have done that, and then you really want to take the action. Of course, you are true to yourself. So week three is when we now go to number four and five. So yes, so that's it. That's the end of the episode today. I hope you've been blessed. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another time. Your presence today be magnified in Jesus' name. And I pray that grace to do what we've learned today. There's a difference between learning. There's a difference between doing. Lord, you are the one who gives the power to do. Your word says you give us the power but to be willing and to do of your good pleasure. Help us to do what is right, what is required to achieve success in every area of life this year. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, and I pray God bless you. Please, when you are coming next week, just invite someone, invite one person, send them to the website to listen to the past episodes, and God bless you indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, and be blessed. Amen. The good success.com.